I get pumped up when I hear that song. Welcome to the Republic for the United States of America. You can call me Kelby, and I am an American. Today is August the 7th of 2014. This is a weekly call. It's an introduction call for the people, the all-capital letter United States of America Corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment, public, or citizens, and the men and women of our armed services whom we love dearly. The Republic government, called the Republic for the United States of America, has been re-inhabited. We are not a movement. We are the only lawful form of government on the land. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans. We are very pro-government. You can consider that we are simply anti-corruption. We are just like you guys. We have fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, families, just like you. We simply found some truths, and now we're going to share these truths, these important things with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible, but get ready to understand that you too could participate and be a part of history. So we welcome each one of you to the Republic for the United States of America. Tonight we have a very special guest, and I'm going to let our host, Bob, introduce him in just a minute, but I'd like our Vice President to please open us up in prayer. I yield.
Thank you, Kelby. Father, we just thank you again and praise you for Americans, Father, for Americans who are standing, who are standing up for the people, standing up for truth and freedom. Father, we thank you for individuals like General Valerie that have put their lives on the line and continue to do their due diligence and do their best to be obedient to the call. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are moving on the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to yield the floor over to Bob, who's going to make special introductions for tonight's call. Ladies and gentlemen, over the last 6 or 7 years, America has been coming together as this republic body. If you would like information as to the structure and how it happened, simply send an email to history@republicoftheunitedstates.org. Again, history@republicoftheunitedstates.org. You'll get email that will be auto-responded, sent back to your inbox. You will have several calls that you can listen to, and it will define what we did to get to this point, not only in history, but what the Republic actually did to re-inhabit and seat the vacated seats that were vacated under Lincoln in 1861. This Republic government has spent a lot of time in law investigating what has transpired in the last 5 years. And we literally walked back into a set of seats that were vacated, and all we did was sat down. Even though the Declaration of Independence says that it is our right and yet our obligation that if there is a government that is coming against the people, that we have an obligation to overthrow, we did not do that. All we did was sit back down in the seat. See, Title 28, Section 3002 states that the United States is nothing more than a corporation. And it's defined in the code of UCC that the United States, the corporation, its exclusive jurisdiction is only in the District of Columbia. And we as a citizenry, a body of people, are now realizing that this government, who is not acting or operating in accordance to the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the current president, de facto corporate president, Barack Obama, just said this week alone that if Congress cannot get their act together by the middle of August pertaining to immigration, that he will unilaterally act on it. We do not live in a body that we thought we lived in. We do not have the supporting documents in place, and we definitely don't have a government that fears the retribution for violating the law. We, as the Republic for the United States of America, have lawfully sat in the seats and served constructive notice to The Hague of our existence. We are forming treaties in this world with other nations who are recognizing us as the body of the United States of America. But it takes time, and it takes you, the people. So I'm going to encourage you to look into us. I'm going to encourage you to act and stand up and stop being one of the sheep. Go to republicfortheunitedstates.org and get on our email list immediately and start stepping up in your local region to reseat the counties so that we can have a nation once again that is not corporately ridden, who has turned over its keys to the United Nations. On that, Bob, I yield.
Thank you, Kelby. I have the privilege tonight to introduce someone that I met in early April. Drew Williamson and I decided to fly down to an event that General Vital Lee had that he was doing in Scottsdale. And we did that because we wanted to meet with him. We did that as an extension of the wish that was transmitted to us by the leadership in the Republic to get our stuff together and get the Republic information so that it could understand the relationship with the military, the relationship, its conduct, the Republic's conduct, and how those two belong together to make it whole. And the only way we could think to do that was to get with retired flag officers and senior field officers and find out what we could do, how we could do it. And then to that end, we flew to Scottsdale. We were privileged to be able to meet General Vitale at just for about 10 minutes before his two-hour presentation, and he was gracious enough to give us a significant amount of time after that with he and his staff. The long and the short of it is, I will tell you the most significant thing I heard that night. During the 10 minutes when we started, he said, "Stop," as we were presenting our explanation of the corporation. And he said, "I understand it. Let me tell you about citizenship. We have a significant group of retired officers from the military, CIA, and others who have gotten together and formed Citizens Commission on Benghazi." He said, "Because we've determined that the more important thing of all is that now we can be citizens because we're retired." And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Paul Valery, who is the retired Major General from the Army, and let him have the stage here. Thank you, Paul. Please take it.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank all of you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this conference call to everybody, what I call all you great Americans, Americans first. What I thought I'd do is give an overview and then open it up to questions, and hopefully I can answer many of them to some degree of eloquence. America is at a crossroads. America is imploding, and we are at a critical crossroads in this country that we haven't seen in our history. It's now obvious from Obamacare debacle to all the myriad of scandals, the IRS, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the Veterans Administration, and then leading on to our ever increasing burgeoning debt, to the neutering of our world power status, to the rise of our enemies, the demise of our allies' trust in America. We really have no friends or allies anymore. And implosion is imminent. We've gone over the cliff very far, as you all know. Now is the time that we must stand up and we must take action to save the Republic. I formed Stand Up America in 2006. with Jerry Mullen, my good friend who just produced America, with Dinesh D'Souza. And we're very happy that we are still around here in 2014, creating events, TV, media, writing articles, tying together networks, I would say a network of organizations throughout the country that I'll be happy to delineate for any of you to see how well connected we are, not only with veterans organizations, but with other organizations such as Accuracy and Media, where we're very heavily involved in the Benghazi issue, and I'll be happy to talk about that a little later on. So, yes, this is a national call to action, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we need to call it. America, you're watching the suicide of this great country. Obama and his progressive socialist supporters and followers, members of Congress, unions, radical race-baiting thugs, Hollywood, ardent admirers of Obama and their ideology, are really the core of this self-affliction. We truly are at war to save America and the Republic. These individuals and groups are causing great self-destruction through corruption and ineptitude and are not giving up fundamentally changing America. And we must understand that they do have an agenda, are implementing it stealthily, even through all their inept and corrupt ways, which now are becoming, I think, more apparent to everybody. As I travel around the country, having just returned from Cody, Wyoming, with Ted Nugent, we did a Tea Party event out there last weekend. Had a great turnout, and Ted and I gave a presentation, and we opened it up to answer questions. But it was Grassroots America, and the applause and the support was absolutely overwhelming. So I am sensing that Americans, to some degree, even our young, are starting to wake up, and perhaps the winds of a new revolution are swirling to save the country. Questions are arising from surprising sources overseas as well as in the United States. And many former supporters of Obama and his administration now seem to be more openly cool or even callous. And we see more callousness with the Republican establishment and the Democrats, their incumbents and their campaigns as we follow them now in these primary elections. So the question is, what does a country and its citizens do as their nation continues to precipitously decline in reputation, ability to function as a government, ability to get anything done for their people, and to really place fear in the hearts of the enemies of America? The financial stability, we're looking at something right now where China, Russia, and I know they're working on it to move towards removing the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And we're delicately balanced on an edge here where our markets could go south within 24 hours. And so when that happens, we find, just like in 9/11, which was a degree of that, that America and our financial structure collapses before our eyes, and that creates all the chaos in America. That would be very hard to bring under control. Mr. Obama is the great reader, orator, continues to show his socialist, communist agenda of spending all of our money first, traveling all over the world doing nothing, and misleading our country down a path of continual decline instead of any way curtailing the cancerous cause of overspending, rapid regulations, class warfare. Instead of working to uphold his oath, he chose to set a straw man in the person of the House of Representatives, specifically the Republicans and the Tea Party caucus. His message is, and has always been, do as I like, we will crucify you with labels and crass abasement. Perhaps worst of all, he's creating all these false issues. And, of course, he calls all of the scandals all false scandals and mean nothing. Of course, it's all meant to fracture and divide us in the United States. So, yes, America is at a crossroad. Obama, as far as I'm concerned, is from a gang of thugs. That's where he grew up, the Alinskyites, but they must be replaced by the American people as soon as possible. And we need the people to stand up and demand a change. I'm working on a resolution now in Washington, D.C., what I call a no-confidence resolution by Congress. You'll see more on that probably within the next week or two. Now, whether Congress will do it or not, we at least want to put in there something that wasn't provided in the Constitution, but certainly can be a resolution that's initiated by Congress then leading to impeachment. We need to stop thinking or obsessing over a single symptom, and we cannot repair or recover all on election day. But we can excise this tumor in America by standing up and being strong. I've told all of our audience, we must be Americans first, before we're Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, whatever. And we all must look at each other when we wake up in the morning as well and say we're Americans first. And until we do that and realize, as I met with General Sisi in Egypt twice in the last year, I'm only the senior military person that's met personally with General Sisi. Matter of fact, it was interesting, last week Senator Kerry was there, and he had to go through a detection machine to get in to see President El-Sisi. I've met him twice. He hugs and kisses me in the Muslim way. And as one retired CIA officer told me, he says, well, they respect you and you have credibility. They don't respect Obama or Kerry, who I call Lurch, is a good nickname for him. And so try to understand that chessboard over there. I'm the only senior person that's been inside Syria. I was in last year. I had 400 members of the Free Syrian Army with me who took good care of me all the way 80 kilometers into Aleppo and out. I've been in the Middle East 5 times in the last 18 months. And I believe getting on the ground, finding out what's going on, rather than staying in the beltway that many of our leaders do. We have a president in the White House, a National Security Council, State Department under John Kerry, who appears clueless in his efforts overseas. He absolutely is an amateur. And as the book was written, The Amateurs, that is truly who we have in Washington at this time. But keep in mind, they do have an agenda, but they are really amateurs in the world. And when we look at Putin playing hardball, doing anything he wants to do, and we have a president that plays wiffle ball. We have the gutting of our military, the purging of what they can teach and how they can train, the purging of what they can say or not say in the galleys and the mess halls. And I have this validated by interviews that I've conducted with some of these troops. We have a military now that focuses more on social engineering than readiness. And believe me, you can just ask the troops about that. We cannot permit the current leaders in the White House, the halls of Congress, and the judicial courts to continue in their efforts to lead us down this road of suicide and progressive socialism and chaos. In my opinion, and that of the SUA, the Stand Up America leadership, these people have to resign, or they have got to be replaced as soon as we can do it. The years of abject failure sprinkled with nefarious and devious motives cannot be tolerated one moment longer. This is the current battle that we constitutionalists face and the supporters of the Republic. But we must be aggressive in our efforts, ladies and gentlemen. America is at war. We're at war to save this country. We must adhere to our Constitution, even though it's not perfect, but the values and traditions that build America are. Obama will continue to bypass Congress with executive orders, and the people in his progressive agenda, Valerie Jarrett and the likes of the many others, even the head of the CIA, many of you probably know, he's a devoted Muslim. I have a lot of Muslim friends, but to have a devoted Muslim in our national security team that supports the Muslim Brotherhood, that really brings a question as to how nefarious this whole regime is in Washington, D.C. Any people anywhere being inclined and having the power have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one. This is a most valuable and sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. We are a representative republic in name, but we must be one in action. So now we must rise up. They must hear our voice. We must go to the nth degree to save this republic and restore it. For my grandson, who is 2 years old right now, and for all of your children and teenagers, we've got to focus on the youth of the country, what I call the 30-year-olds, the 25 to 40-year-olds. They should be included in everything that we do. And I would hope there would be a number in this audience this evening that would be in that age group. Because we must make it an imperative, really, that our government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, I could go on. I've written many articles on the subject of America at a crossroads, America that needs to stand up now because we are at war. But I can tell you, and I think you all agree with me, we have had enough. Enough is enough. Obama's taken the seeds of our demise, planted by progressives for over a century now, and amplified everything to the nth degree. So if we're in a death spiral, we're not going to die. We're going to turn it around because we are exceptional in the United States. How, or better yet, can America recover from its economic, political, and cultural death spiral? It appears to many of us here and abroad that the United States is, as I've said before, committing national suicide. But these challenges can be overcome. We need a George Washington to come out of the woods and lead America. I'm not confident any of the candidates on any party right now are the world-class leaders we need. I would not like to see a politician become the next president of the United States. I'd rather see a true warrior and a leader become the president of the United States. Because it is all about leadership. So we do need people with vision, common sense. People are not politicians first, but they are Americans first. So with that, Bob, I would really like to open it up to questions because I can focus more on what I think the audience is concerned about, if that's okay with you.
You bet. What we did to streamline it tonight, actually there are two principal of us that are going to go ahead and lead off into questions. It'll be Kelby and I because that'll streamline it and we can get a lot more of you in that quicker pace questioning style. And I'll start off with the actual military. I'd like you to expand on what you believe the military duty is in the active military and how the retired military can help them do their duty, if you would, please.
Well, let me answer the last part of your question. There are very many veterans organizations now, and I'm talking about your traditional ones, VFW, American Legion. I'm talking about the number of organizations which represents the Marines, the Special Operations Forces, the SOS, Special Operations Speaks, which is part of our Benghazi Commission. We find a network out there now of even the well-regulated militia people in the various amounts of our state who are organizing. They're getting ready for any partial martial law that might be established in the United States by Obama if things don't go well or as he may have planned out. So you have a concern, really, will our U.S. active military stand by the citizens versus standing by a commander-in-chief who is taking the American on a suicide track. They all know that the military is being purged. We have pink slips being given to officers and enlisted people serving in Afghanistan right now. And they're saying, well, wait, where are the pink slips from the IRS, from the Veterans Administration? They're not getting anything. They're making salaries higher than they've ever made. But yet we're always the first victims of any cutback or cutting of the military. So I would say from the standpoint of organization, The calls that I get, the interface I have with retired generals and officers, we are getting very well organized to support anything that could happen in America. But we need to continue pulling together the reins to make sure that we're networked, we understand, and that we can do things legally, and that we, in turn, are ready to stand up and replace this government as necessary. And I hope we can do it by peaceful means.
Mm.
Now, okay. The first part of your question, Bob, was what?
The first part was actually the action within the military today. Essentially, what's going on, you alluded to it earlier, in the barracks where they can't even have Bible anymore, in the academies where sexual problems drive a lot of the problems, in the just the total current operation of where we need to get it fixed, if you would.
Well, the morale is very bad. I think if they know that Americans are out there standing up, they're going to support us. They need to know that. I would think even the black community within the military would see that Obama is not a leader and that he is giving pink slips to as many black officers and enlisted men as he is to others. So there's an awareness going on within the ranks, believe me. I am just surprised. No, I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I'm taken back by the fact that we don't have more of our senior officers, generals, admirals, standing up that are on active duty. And they're seeing us being gutted from within, and they see what's happening overseas with our soldiers and the fact that we can't even have victory anymore. We can't even save victory. And the fact that we've had very bad strategies in the Middle East. And a lot of them realize this. But yet our senior officers, unless they get prepared, I guess, for retirement or whatever their next assignment is, are very reluctant to stand up, and I wish they would. We need more Pattons, more MacArthurs, more Eisenhowers.
Is that a case they're just, if they stand up, they'll be purged, or is that a case that you think?
Oh, absolutely they will, but they still have to do it. In other words, they have to be warriors and be ready to fall on their swords to say, we're not going to take this anymore, Mr. President. And they ought to march on the White House and tell them that and have the guts and the courage to do it, what I call the cojones to do it. But they don't seem to have it. They're too political.
I'm glad you brought that out, because that's a very definitive answer to those questions. Kelby, would you like to ask a question now, or would you like me to do another one?
Well, I would first like to ask, how do I address him? How do I address you, sir?
Paul, it's fine.
Paul, I really appreciate you coming on the call, and more importantly, I appreciate you standing up. And I think you've hit on a lot of points pertaining to what's going on in the administration, and I think it points to a greater thing. Looking at our presidents, the last four presidents that we've had, what we would refer to as a de facto president, have all touted and talked about the one world order. And that world order in law is complete. And they literally, in my opinion, after what I've seen, have basically given the keys to the United States to the United Nations, specifically to the Office of Military Settlement. But what do we do with a people, in your opinion, because this is the frustration that we have, is we understand the truth. We understand that there is a body jurisdictionally called the Republic, and jurisdictionally called the United States. One represents America, and one represents corporate private interests. The people don't seem to want to wake up. They're not uncomfortable enough. How much more needs to happen? It seems like we've got a methodical thing happening, taking place over a period of time, where we're slowly cooking as that lobster, and pretty soon it's going to be that martial law. Is that the catalyst that's going to wake up America? And do we have enough people across the country to stand up against that type of an environment where foreign troops would come on our soil, as George W. Bush stated they would in the event of an emergency? What do we do?
Well, I don't think that will happen. First of all, they know the biggest army in the world is the American gun owner. The United Nations is not organized enough. They don't have any soldiers other than what the member nations would give them. So I don't see that as a threat. I think this whole world order thing that they're trying to proceed with is going to fall apart one way or the other. The globalists, the Bushes were globalists, the Council of Foreign Affairs, a lot of these people are globalists, even some of our senior military. But I'm not encouraged that they're going to be successful at all. If you look back in history, all societies against tyrannical governments, and it's usually an economic thing. Initially, the people get overtaxed. It's what happened in Rome. It happened in France. It's happened in England. That's why we had our revolution, the Tea Party, as you may recall. So when you look at history, good always overcomes evil in the end. So whether it's by divine intervention, I would think that something cataclysmic is going to happen in the next year, which will be from the outside and from our southern border. But I think the ISIS forces you see now developing the global caliphate, I think an attack on our grid system by Iran with a low nuclear attack, we call EMP, electronic magnetic pulse, that basically destroys our computers, cyber terrorism. These things are more likely to occur. Biological is more likely to occur, and we see what's happening with the Ebola virus right now. These things are more real than the world organizations coming in and doing all that. You've got to be careful. There's a lot of conspiracies out there, and many of them are not well-founded. Americans will react when there's enough pain, believe me. One of the other things I want to tell you, we've just announced today that we're forming the American Provisional Leadership Council, and we've asked Admiral Ace Lyons to head up that with a number of retired military and corporate people and others to form this new provisional council to guide our government. And so you'll be seeing that published on the Internet tomorrow, so be aware of that. But we are taking measures to form an alternate leadership in America that can guide our government in the future. So Obama will not get away with martial law. He will try, maybe, but he will not get away with it, nor will any of his followers. I'm confident in that.
Bob, do you mind if I ask another question?
No, go ahead.
Paul, the aspect of understanding the Republic, have you spent a lot of time in trying to get your mind wrapped around why we as a body in the Republic believe we are the only lawful form of government? Because in my opinion, the corporation is a different entity in its entirety. And we can't move that body out and sit in those seats because that structure as an entity doesn't fit with our Constitution. But the Republic structure, who we are, does fit with the Constitution as a de jure form. So have you spent time wrapping your mind around that aspect yet? Because it's, to try to de-seat Obama doesn't fix the solution, because you're replacing a corporate president with a new corporate president who has an interest to a board and has to be obligated to that board. So I guess my question is exclusively, have you wrapped your mind around really what we have done in law?
Well, you know, I have. And again, when you look at a forward strategy and how you do things and what kind of a plan you have to develop it with the right leadership, it's got to be doable. So as you wrap your arms around, how can we transition back to the Republic, to the Constitution, and have the leadership of the country that we need to take us forward. It's going to take a lot of creative thinking right now to do this, because America has not gone through this before, since basically 1776, when we had the revolution in America. So this is all new to Americans. But I can tell you, the young people, many of Americans are growing to a point that they know that we need new leadership in this country. And that's what it's about, leadership with a plan, with a constitution and values. We will be going through a massive change and transformation in the future, but it's not going to be what Obama wanted and his progressive followers and the globalists. So it may take divine intervention. It may take a cataclysmic event. It may take the financial markets crashing, that we finally arise from the ashes as the Phoenix did, and we get America back on track. But historically, when you look, it's always been some type of a cataclysmic event or something that has changed the country. So we have to be prepared to do that. And if it's a new American Leadership Provisional Council to take over and to run the government for a period of time, then we have to do that. You know, there's a lot of people out there now who think we need to set aside the Constitution for 6 months, put in a provisional leadership that can turn the country around, just like General El-Sisi did in Egypt within 48 hours. So many Americans think, well, that's not going to happen, or we can't do that. The Swiss will never happen in America. But believe me, when the pain gets great enough and we have a cataclysmic event, America will change. And that's maybe what's going to happen within the next 12 to 24 months.
Well, you've actually done some interesting work specific to answer all this business we hear about women that can't do things and women this and women that. And you've created an actual, what you call, Women at War for America. Can you tell us something about that?
Why would you repeat that? My earpiece just fell out, and I don't know why, and I missed the last part of your question.
You've created within Stand Up America your what you call Women at War for America.
Right.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, when I went out to an invited Tea Party event in Lansing, Michigan a couple months ago, I was having breakfast one morning, and we had a number of women sat down with me, and they wanted to really come up with a creative thing against this, I guess we call it, a liberal approach of women, or war against women. So anyhow, in a matter of about 2 hours, we came up with a whole new plan from the grassroots level to create Women at War for America. And that's on our website now at standupamericaus.org. And we're asking all the women to join in that effort and become a participant in the various states of which they're in. And we just launched it, so we'll have to see, Bob, how it works out and whether it takes hold. But we think it's important for all the women, young and old, to stand up and say, hey, we're fighting for America, Women at War for America. So that's what the program's about. It's all described on our website. It's standupamericaus.org. I would ask all of you to join us, too. Become a member of Stand Up and help us out. We're one of the few organizations in the country where funding, you actually get something for your money, and we actually produce something. Each of my trips into the Middle East, for example, usually runs my team $20,000 to $25,000. So, but we go in and we find things that nobody else has done. We go into Egypt. We have to get funding to do all of these things, but they're all paying off. We're not like many, I say most, they stay in the Beltway. They never get out. They never get out on the ground. And so, therefore, they have no clue what's going on in the world. Stand Up America, we actually have teams, we have intelligence analysts, we actually produce something. So that's just a little advertisement for the organization.
Well accepted. And the other thing is, I do want to come back to Benghazi because that was falling on deaf ears. And then all of a sudden, because I watched the reports once I followed your site and followed it all the time, and you've got a site that sucks in a whole bunch of information through a whole lot of sources. And the Benghazi thing really impressed me because you discussed that one of the first things you told me in Scottsdale, that Citizen Commission for Benghazi. And I think probably the whole thing would have died on the vine if you hadn't done that. Can you explain that to us and what they've done?
Well, you're exactly right. There were a few of us, after I had gone on the Araldo show on Fox, after Hillary Clinton had testified, and Leon Panetta and General Dempsey. So the second night, after I'd written an article, Fox called me up and I did a show, and Geraldo said, well, you know, you said in your article that Panetta and Hillary Clinton and General Dempsey lied when they said we didn't have any assets in the Mediterranean to effect a rescue operation. And so after that, I got with Admiral Ace Lyons and General McInerney and a number of other retired CIA, Claire Lopez, Kevin Shipp, and Accuracy and Media, our good friend Roger Aronoff. And we decided that we're not going to let this die. This is another one of those scandals. It's another one of these deceptive type of operations where we lost four Americans. And so we formed the Citizens Commission for Benghazi well over a year ago. And now we have Ginny Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas, working closely with us with another organization that we had her form. But it's been us interrogating, bringing up witnesses who were threatened by the Obama administration. And we have done our homework. We are working very closely now with Trey Gowdy. And it was my recommendation to the Citizens Commission that we press forward in getting a select committee that Boehner, by the way, didn't want to organize or approve. And then I put out the word to everybody, we need to get Trey Gowdy to head that. And lo and behold, they formed the select committee. Trey Gowdy's in charge. He's putting he has his people at work now. He's using the information that the Citizens Committee's provided them on many of the witnesses that would come to us, but they would not go to Congress for fear of retribution by the Obama administration. So with that, we're very proud that we've kept the heat on, but it just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, if citizens stand up and do something, you can make it happen, and that's what we did. And we're very proud of it, so we'll see what happens. You're going to see the White House interfering as much as they can, downplaying this, trying to protect Hillary. But now they're going to come in under oath, and we've got a good man in there, Trey Gowdy, who's a terrific prosecutor. So we're very encouraged by what's going to come out of that. But we may put an end to this Obama administration through this Benghazi effort.
Well, that's sure why I asked about it, because the... like I said, I followed the reports, I read them, and they came out. Only people who had been senior military commanders could ask the precise, concise questions about troop deployments, ships, planes, support systems, the whole thing.
Exactly.
And I couldn't believe when I read those FOIAs what they looked like.
Yes, FOIAs, yep.
Must be thousands of hours into that.
Yeah, and you're going to see a new website coming up that I'll send you, Bob, and you can get out to everybody. We just approved it today. But this whole Benghazi thing, there really was an arms deal gone bad. Can you imagine our State Department involved in an arms deal to support al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, and the al-Qaeda that was trying to take down Gaddafi, also involved in trying to ship weapons to Syria? I mean, unbelievable how far this Benghazi thing goes so deeply into the CIA, the Defense Department, the National Security Council, the President, the White House. I mean, it's unbelievable. But there was something, we were God-driven to make sure that we would stay on point on this Citizens Commission. And we had it composed of some very influential people. And so you can Google that. You can find out anything you want to on the commission and what we've done. And we're not going to let this pass, because this could take the administration down.
Oh, I believe it absolutely. It's dereliction and death. That's serious, serious business.
Yep, and treason.
Absolutely. Well, I was impressed. That's why I wanted you to take more time on that particular ones. The other one that I really would like to have you get on the call tonight, you know, the border. You wrote an extremely extensive document, what, back around 25th or 6th of July, that was published. And you really hit a whole lot of nails on the head in that document about what that border situation is, what the lawful remedy is, what the conditioned response is versus the absolutely necessary response. Could you cover that for us?
Well, I'd be happy to. We took on the border issue actually 2 years ago when we published a strategy for protecting our borders, published at that time. It didn't go anywhere, by the way. I mean, it was published a lot. But, of course, government never picked up on it. So we rewrote it again and published it 2 weeks ago. And we've gotten really a great response because we're the only ones who've come up with a specific plan. And of course, the first part of that plan was that if I was president, I would go to Mexico City, meet with the president of Mexico. I mean, I'd get on a plane, go there, meet with the president of Guatemala and Honduras, and I would say, gentlemen, you will stop this flow of illegal immigrants into America within 24 hours. Because within 24 hours, if you don't take action, all your foreign aid will be cut off immediately. Any foreign aid that you do have or in progress, if there's been any cost to the United States, will be deducted from that. Now, gentlemen, do you understand? So that's the first thing you do. Second, all NAFTA will be terminated at this point in time. The borders will be closed for 45 days other than commercial traffic that's required. We will conduct a 20-kilometer no-go zone south of the border. We will use our surveillance capability, intelligence capability. We will track all the cartels, all of the coyotes, anybody that's illegally coming into that no-go zone based on good intelligence, and we will interdict within that zone and using our active military. We will base special operations out of Fort Hood, Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and with the Marines and Special Ops out of Camp Pendleton. And we will shut down that border until everything ceases from coming across it. And, you know, once you start playing hardball, it's amazing how the world changes. It's like Putin, as I said, plays hardball. Our president plays wiffle ball. It's time to start playing hardball. You cannot believe, other than diseases coming across the border, and it's terrible, they're using these young children. The cartels, and even, you know, the figures that I'm getting in, 60% of the youth coming across are teenagers who are being recruited by the gangs. And so with that, you have that kind of incursion. You also have the jihadis that are infiltrating in, and those cells then go out throughout the major metropolitan areas within the United States. So here we have probably the biggest threat to the United States now are our borders. And our borders are not only Mexico. Our borders are our seaports. The borders are our airports. So anyhow, I'd ask you all go to Stand Up America. You can take that article and use it any way you want to. If you like it, I would like to hear a response back to you. My email, by the way, is princenemo@reagan.com. princenemo@reagan.com. So I'd love to hear from any of you. If you have questions, we'll be happy to address it even after the night. But I'm looking for all your support for Stand Up America and the future things that we can do to restore the Republic. That's what it's all about. That's a simple formula. It's not that hard to understand. But we've got to do it together.
I do have a question, Paul. I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Paul, in reference to the borders, in the Social Security Administrative Act of 1935, the people here in our country have been bonded and are the lawful collateral for the debt of the United States per their birth certificate. It's my understanding that they're doing the same thing for immigrants. They're doing the same bonding technique and routine on the people crossing the border, and it becomes more of a valuable instrument for the corporation, and that's why they did not want to close the borders, and it's another reason why we don't want a corporation running this country. So I just wanted to give you a thought there, but I'm really interested on exploring what you were saying before about the council on how to rebuild this country. How do we help you do that?
Well, I'd like to get your nominations in. I've nominated 12 people already. I would like to have a blend. I'd like a council of about 12 people who are from the corporate to private sector. They can be retired CIA, retired military, retired corporate executives. We have some outstanding executives out there. You know, even a Democrat like Steve Wynn. We have a Sheldon Adelson from Las Vegas. These guys are all billionaires. They have a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not happy with the way the situation is. We got the former president of Gulf Oil. We got my good friend Tommy Milner from Cabela's. So I want to form this council with some superb, high-visibility people that will have an effect on passing the word and guiding the government until we can get it replaced. So that's sort of where I'm coming from on it. And it's taking, we're getting some very good positive reactions right now. And if I had the money, the resources to do a lot of these things, I could accelerate a lot of action and a lot of operations from our standpoint at Stand Up America. But, you know, it's all limited. You got to have the assets to go forward, you know. Here you got Obama using all of our assets to do all of his nefarious things. On the other side, the private sector, we need the private sector to stand up and support an organization like Stand Up America, Accuracy in Media, Judicial Watch, a number of organizations out there. You know, if I had the money, I'd like to go in and buy Newsmax. They're brand new. They're only 6 weeks on TV. I do 2 shows a week with Newsmax with J.D. Hayworth and Steve Malzberg. It's 2-2-3, I think, on Dish. But thereby, you have to understand, we must have a media resource. We must have a media capability, because that's how people, even through social networking and all of that, we have to be on top of that today. And this takes assets and money to do something like this.
Bob, we're coming up on the hour, so go ahead and get your question.
I want to go for one last thing, and this is on the light side. Or the heavy side, depends on how you want to look at it. Word is there were a couple of brand new deputies came out of Cody, Wyoming. What happened there?
Ted Nugent and I, actually sworn in by Sheriff Blackburn, were real deputies in Cody, Wyoming. And we were very happy to take that on. It's gone all over the internet with the pictures, and but I'm going to deputize all of you now. I don't know whether I have the authority to do that, but I would deputize everybody on this call tonight, man. Stand up. Let's get it done. Let's not take any more crap from these politicians, and let's get this country turned around. That's our destiny. That's our job.
Hey, Paul, you tell me where to drive tonight. I'll be at your house to get deputized.
I love you. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, but we've got to take myself and others, Bob, as you know. We've got to get support. We've got to have financial support. We can make things happen.
You bet. You bet. And the Republic as well. We have a really big task. We need to fill a lot of seats so that 12 individual group that you've got for guidance has something really established to guide.
Yeah.
So we get all that paired up and working, and we're going to get there. And we really thank you for being on tonight.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you. But I'm open to feedback. I don't know it all. I'm a dumb kid. I grew up north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was lucky enough to go to West Point and get a good education. But I've always been open to my staff and to people for ideas. And so if you want to send me anything, send it to PrinceNemo@Reagan.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if we can work together as a team, we'll make it happen. We will save the Republic.
Bob, do you have any closing comments?
No, I did it, and we really appreciate coming on and sharing those things that only a substantial group of successful retired individuals could really accomplish. And I just, you guys are doing a whole bunch of really major stuff, and we thank you.
Well, I thank all of you, and we are at war to protect America, reestablish the public, so let's all work together, and we can do it.
Amen. And I'd like to special thank you to Major General Paul. I hope I don't destroy your last name.
Vallely.
Thank you very much for coming on to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude our call for this week. We hold these calls every week. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific to get the word out in this republic. Paul has a website that everybody should go to. It's standupamericaus.org. Go there and support them in any way that you can. We as a nation need to bind and bond ourselves together as patriots, people that understand what's going on, and make a change. And we support his efforts and his website here at the Republic. So again, standupamericaus.org. Again, Paul, thank you for coming on the call tonight. We appreciate so much your efforts and taking the time to answer questions. God bless you and have a good week. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude our call this evening. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Jesus.